This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Welcome, my dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to the it's episode number 17 of the Seerah, walking upon the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's episode 17. First of all, I hope you're all doing great. I hope you're staying healthy and safe, inshallah ta'ala, despite amid this pandemic. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you all. I'm happy to see you back and excited to get you all back after a long week. Yeah, we haven't seen each other since last Sunday. It's a long time for me, but I just pray that you all are great and in a high state of iman, inshallah. So my brothers and sisters, last week, as we were talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, and as I keep saying, this is not just the seerah, a program of the seerah, but it's the seerah and beyond, right? Because we're not just talking about or narrating the incidents that happened throughout the seerah, the life of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, but we're also talking about him as a person. Especially when we migrate to Medina, we'll be spending more time, like more personal time with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he do throughout his day, from the time he wakes up until the time he goes to sleep? You know, don't you wonder? I wonder. Don't you wonder, like, what does he do when he goes home? What does he do when he wakes up? What time does he wake up? What does he eat? You know, what kind of food does he eat? When does he have his breakfast? When does he have his lunch, dinner? Does he have any, you know, dinner? What kind of food does he like to eat? Just like the normal stuff, you know, we're all, you know, there are people, you know, sending these, you know, videos online about, you know, their stories and stuff on TikTok, on Instagram, you know, just like, for me, just trivial stuff. You know, sometimes you see some things that you wish that, you know, I don't know what these people are looking for. Maybe just like everybody knows, looking for the buzz, right? You know, I just got home today and I'm going to surprise my husband. Well, go surprise him. Why do you have to tell the world that you have to surprise your husband? I don't care. Do you really care? Go surprise him. That's something nice. But why do you have to tell me? I'm going to prank my wife. I'm not going to say go prank her, you know, but yeah, sometimes it's ridiculous stuff. But we want to know about Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. What does he do, you know, from the time he wakes up in the morning? How does he spend his day? That would be something interesting to know about, right? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, this is episode number 17. Last week, we talked about the very first hijrah to Abyssinia. If you remember, the very first migration to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha. Sisters and brothers, do you remember how many Sahabis and Sahabiyas they were all together? Roughly how many in numbers? The very first hijrah to Habasha. You know, how many brothers and how many companions, like male and female companions, that migrated to Habasha? Do you remember? I'm sure, like Yasmin, because she always takes notes, I'm sure she would remember. So, what I gave a number, you know, roughly. There were about 300 Muslims altogether, right? So far, this is happened, you know, this event that I'm talking about happened between the 3rd and 6th year of the Hijrah. Not 18, 80. So the first batch were about 18, and the second batch was 81. So it's about 100 together, right? 100 Sahabis and Sahabiyas together, altogether, right? So, and we talked about that, not confrontation, but when Amr ibn al-As was sent by Quraysh to bring the Sahaba back, and then how An-Najashi, who was a very fair and just man, wanted to hear from the from the Sahaba themselves, and then that beautiful, eloquent speech that that Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and we talked about Ja'far and why Ja'far was the spokesman, right? And when he came to recite, you know, the beginnings of the chapter of Maryam, telling An-Najashi about what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says about Maryam and Jesus. Was this the end? And I said, when the Sahabas, when they remained in Habasha, they contributed, you know, into, they were part of the society, so they started working and trying to serve the Habashi community. They're trying to serve the Abyssinian, you know, community. Radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he used to spend some time with An-Najashi, and he used to teach him the Quran, and he used to teach him Islam. And An-Najashi, he embraced Islam under the hand of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and he died as a Muslim. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed Salat al-Janaza, right, on absentee, the prayer of Janaza on absentee, you know, on An-Najashi radiallahu anhu. So we can say An-Najashi radiallahu anhu, although he did not see the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, but he is he believed and he embraced Islam. The Sahaba brothers and sisters, you know, those who were in Mecca, they were still going through hardship, those who remained in Mecca. We talked that, we said, you know, Umar ibn Khattab, he embraced Islam, Hamza embraced Islam. Those brought, you know, when they embraced Islam, those brought some strength into the Sahaba, into Islam. You know, the Muslims, they could not pray in public, right? They would pray in hiding. But when Umar embraced Islam, the Sahaba would pray by the Kaaba. They would go and make tawaf and say, La ilaha illallah. You know, that's what the izzah that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu brought when he became a Muslim, and so was Hamza. But they were still going through, you know, abuse, physical, emotional abuse. Abu Jahl, for instance, let me tell you this, and brothers and sisters, those of you who may be going through some sort of difficulties, look, this is why we study the seerah. Because any situation that you may be going through, when you study the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad, you will find something that you can relate to. Whether you're a woman, whether you're the sister or daughter, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're a husband, whether you're a brother, whether you're a professional, whether you're a student, a son, daughter, whatever you are, you can relate to something from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Jahl, you know, Amr ibn Hisham, Fir'aun of the Ummah, they call him. He came to Rasulullah one day. He says, if you're speaking the truth, all right, tell your Lord to send his punishment upon us. Tell him to send down hijara, you know, stones and rocks from the heavens upon us. If you're speaking the truth, if your religion is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he says that in the Quran. Allah reveals in the Quran. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أن ينزل حجارة من السماء أو ائتنا بعذاب أليم وما كان الله معذبهم وأنت فيهم وما كان الله معذبهم هم يستغفرون. They said, tell your Lord to send down rocks upon us. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in that regard? وما كان الله معذبهم وأنت فيهم. Allah was not to punish them and you were amongst them, O Muhammad. Does that mean, khalas, if Prophet Muhammad is there, that means Allah is not going to send down his punishment? How about if Prophet Muhammad is not there? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah was not to punish them as long as they make istighfar. Here's the key. Here's the lesson that we can derive from this incident here. You know, when they came, when he, Abu Jahl, came to the Prophet, you know, challenging him, tell your Lord to send down punishment upon us. ينزل حجارة, you know, tell Allah to انزل حجارة من السماء. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla was to reveal, وما كان الله, this is in Surah Anfal. Allah was not to punish them while you are amongst them. You're there. Allah was not to punish them while you are amongst them, Ya Muhammad. وما كان الله معذبهم وهم يستغفرون. And Allah was not to punish them as long as they make istighfar. And this applies to us today. One of the ways to wave off or to ward off the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by means of making istighfar. Islam kept on spreading. Day in, day out, Islam kept on spreading. So the Quraysh, they started going to people, you know, and they started saying, don't listen to this Quran. You know, don't listen to the Quran. You know, block your ears. Don't listen to the Quran. And if Muhammad was to recite the Quran by the Kaaba, talk, make some noise so that you don't listen. And then you just, you know, try to, you know, disturb and cause some confusion, right? So they kept saying, you know, don't listen to the Quran. They knew the power of the Quran. They started warning people. There is a man. He's a magician. Be careful. Don't listen to him. So much so that At-Tufayl, radiallahu anhu warda, he went to embrace Islam in Iran. He put in, you know, cotton in his ear while he was making tawaf. He did not want to listen to what the Prophet was saying. And Prophet was going around talking, you know, reciting the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they knew, Quraysh, that there's magic in that Quran from Allah Azza wa Jal. It is divine. It is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran was to cause them, you know, not anger, but it used to fuel them so much so that they were telling people, don't listen to it. It will bewitch you. His talk, his speech will bewitch you. So, Tufail, he put cottons going around. And then he says, well, hey, Tufail, you're a smart man. You're the man of intellect. Why don't you listen to this man and see what he has to say? And then he took off the cotton. And Prophet, he noticed, so he came closer, and then he didn't talk to him, but he just started reciting the Quran. And At-Tufayl embraced Islam, radiallahu anhu wa Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. And those believers, they said, لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن. Don't listen to this Quran. والغوا فيه. When you hear it, keep on talking and making noise so that, you know, the other people don't listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in the Quran, when, you know, in regard to, this is beautiful. When you study the seerah, you understand the chapters of the Quran and you understand the ayat and why they were revealed and at what point they were revealed. This is one of the beauty of studying the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. You will understand the Quran by means of going to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. You understand, oh, now I understand. I know this ayah. I've heard this ayah before. It was revealed in relation to this particular event or incident. Abu Dar radiallahu anhu warda, Abu Dar al-Ghifari, he came. And then he stayed for a few days. And the Sahaba, a lot of them did not divulge the fact that they were Muslims, because everybody was scared. They were scared. So Abu Dar, he came and he spoke to Ali, where is your man? I want to talk to your man. Where is your man? And then for 3 days, then Ali radiallahu anhu warda, he told him, he says, I'm going to take you to him, but I'm going to go ahead of you and you go behind me. And if you see me going down and trying to fix my shoes, you know, the shoelaces or something, you know, then keep on going. That means I saw some danger, just keep on going. And then he took him to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he asked him a few questions and then he embraced Islam. And then he went down. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have to go and I'm not going to conceal the fact that I'm Muslim, because the others were concealing, but Abu Dar Ghifari, he comes from Ghifar, and Ghifar is a very well known tribe who is known to have lots of actually bandits, you know, very tough people. So he says, no, I'm gonna go and just reveal that, you know, the fact that I'm a Muslim. And he went reciting, you know, Quran, and they came, you know, they wanted to come and start beating him up. And then who came to actually defend him? Abu Bakr. This man, he's from Ghifar. If you were to touch him, the whole tribe of Ghifar will attack you. You can't, you know, you can't, your caravans will not be safe no more. Your caravans will not be safe no more if you were to, touch him or harm him. We're talking about Abu Dar al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu wa ardah. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, the other criminal who says, okay, is this man? He's talking about Muhammad alayhi salam. He's talking about Prophet Muhammad. I'm going to go and finish him off. I'm going to go and just finish him off. Khalas, we're going to die. So he took his like amama or something, right? And then he went and he choked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Prophet Muhammad went down on his knees. But he couldn't breathe. He could not breathe. He went and then he choked him alayhi salatu wasalam until, you know, Abu Bakr came through, and then he helped him and saved him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They went through lots of hardship and difficulties, my dear brothers and sisters. Abu Jahl, again, the Fir'aun of the Ummah, Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, he saw Prophet Muhammad praying. He says, you know, if I see that man, if I see Muhammad, you know, putting his face on the ground, it means, you know, he's praying, I'm going to go and step and put my foot on his neck. So they said, he's right there by the Kaaba making sujood, he's praying, he's right there. And then Abu Jahl went, he was trying to harm Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. As he was going to, you know, harm Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and all of a sudden he started, you know, walking back and doing like this with his hands, pushing away. And then they said, what are you doing? Why are you back? He's there by himself. Didn't you say you're going to go and step on his face? He says, yes, but there was this khandaq. There was this like this trench between him and I. And I saw fire. And I saw fire. And I saw wings. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if he was to come and approach me, the angels would have taken him and destroyed him. Allahu Akbar. And he saw this. Abu Jahl, he saw this, and yet he did not want to embrace Islam. He did not want to embrace Islam. He says, I saw a trench, and I saw fire, and I saw wings. But when didn't you say La ilaha illallah? You saw this, right? Why didn't you say La ilaha illallah? La, they knew the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And remember, it was all about trade. It was all about their business. Islam, you know, Islam is actually, it puts danger to their trade, to their business, to their finance. He did not want to embrace Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ إِن كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى أَرَأَيْتَ, didn't you see this man? أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى عبدا إذا صلى ينهى, he is a man who's trying to preclude a man from praying. He's disturbing a man from praying. He's not letting a man, he's preventing a man from praying. عبدا ينهى عبدا إذا صلى أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى. He is in huda. He is, I know, following, you know, that guidance, and he's calling and enjoining good and forbidding evil. كلا لئن لم ينتهي لنسفعا بالناصية ناصية كاذبة خاطئة. If he was not to abstain from what he's doing, the Prophet Muhammad says the angels, they would have come and they would have destroyed him. Umar ibn Khattab, despite the fact that he embraced Islam, and he's strong, right? Umar ibn Khattab, they did not mess around with Islam. They did not want to mess around with him, radiallahu anhu wa'adha. So one day they came, bunch of them, attacking Umar. Brothers and sisters, from Fajr, until Dhuhr, imagine, and Umar is fighting them, by himself. La ilaha illallah. I love the personality of this man, Umar ibn Khattab. That's why I named my son Umar. Because I love this shakhsiyya. Umar. From morning until dhuhr. He's fighting them. Yani this is not like a 3-round thing or 15 rounds professional fight. 13 rounds. Khalas, okay, 13 rounds professional fight. all these MMA rounds, you know, 5 rounds or 3 rounds or 5 minutes each. You're talking about from morning until noon, fighting. He got so tired that at some point at the end, he just looked at one of their elite, and then he brought him down and he put his fingers on his eyes. And he says, if you guys don't, you know, stay away from him, I'm going to pull his eyes out. If you guys not stay away from him, I'm going to pull this man's eyes out. And they left him alone. Umar radiallahu anhu arda. So Islam did not come easy. They went through a lot of difficulties and hardships. Was that the end? No. No, it was more and more and more. Because Islam kept on spreading. Islam kept on spreading. So they thought of another, you know, maybe they thought of something else. We've tried emotional abuse. We've tried calling him names. We've tried spreading rumors. We've tried of ridiculing him. We've tried even physically abusing the Sahaba and abusing him. Well, now they try to move into something else. What is that something? What is that something? First and foremost, again, one more time, now that you guys are here, those on Facebook and those on Instagram, how are you people doing? How are you people doing? كيف حالكم? How's everyone doing? How's Sidi Tayyib? How's Taslim Javid? How's Mu'nisa and Yashmin? And Bezoriz from Indonesia, I remember. And how's Nawal from Belgium? And how's those guys out there from Morcane, Montreal, from Montreal? Hey! And Yashmin, doing okay? All right, I'm just double checking on you guys. Alhamdulillah, hoping that you're doing good. Yes, Monisa. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, doing great. Nasima loves. Okay, so Nasima loves what? Nasima loves food. What? Because your name is Nasima loves, and then you just left it like loves what? Nasima loves food. Nasima loves husband. Nasima loves children. Nasima loves babies. Nasima loves clothing. Nasima loves purses. Nasima loves shoes. Nasima loves biryani. Nasima loves money. Nasima, I don't know. I don't know what you love. You know, you love so many things. But anyways, all right. So here we go, brothers and sisters. They thought of another technique, or they thought of something else to try to, stop this danger. You know, da'wah, to stop this danger. So they thought of something unique, something new. They thought of a boycott. A boycott. It's a social, economical boycott. So as Quraysh, those of you who've been in Mecca, right? Live in, in the mountains. So they put those Muslims under a siege in a valley. Shab Abu Talib, they called him Shab Abu Talib, right? It's an embargo for 3 years. And the Sahaba, they did not know it's going to last for 3 years. We don't do business with them. They don't buy from us, we don't buy from them. They don't trade with us, we don't trade with them. No marriage, no traveling, no going here, no going there. A siege for 3 years. No food, nothing. They're on their own. They are on their own. And this is one of the toughest things that happened, my brothers and sisters, on the Sahaba that remained there in Mecca. Because the others, remember, you know, hundreds, where they left Mecca, they went to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha, and then those who remained, they were still going through a lot of hardship for 3 years. Hisar. And within these 3 years, unfortunately, Islam would not be able to spread because the Sahaba and the Prophet were being restricted within a very small area, right? So they could not move out. They could not go anywhere where nobody else could join them either. So Islam couldn't spread, and Islam did not spread for 3 years. Hisar. Full full embargo, boycott. Abu Talib stayed with Prophet Muhammad, although he is not a believer, but he is supporting Prophet Muhammad as a salam. Khadija, they went to Khadija, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. They went to Khadija. Khadija, they used to respect Khadija. Very bright, intellectual woman. They went to her and they said, "Oh, you Khadija, you could stay in your home. Mu'azzaza mukarrama. You stay in your home. You're honored. You don't have to, you know, be with them." She says, "No, of course not. I'm going to be with my husband. I'm going to stay with my husband." And she stayed with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. She was in her, you know, late 50s, almost early 60s, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. 25 years being married to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. She could have stayed home, and she's an old woman. And imagine, and like I said, the Sahaba, they did not know. They did not know that it was going to last for 3 years. We did not know that this lockdown, this corona, you know, COVID-19 lockdown is going to last this long. Who knew? When it first came out, in March, February or something, you know, we thought it would be, you know, maybe a few weeks, a month or two, max. They will have come out with a vaccine and they will be fine. We did not know we were not going to make it for the Umrah. We did not know we were going to miss the Hajj. We did not even know. Who knew that Ramadan will be locked down? Ramadan will be locked down. There will be no Taraweeh all over the world. Taraweeh, the Imam is praying with, you know, one or two people. Who knew? Who, subhanAllah? We didn't know it's going to last this long. The Sahaba, they did not know that this boycott will last for 3 years. And they had no food. So, you know, for me, okay, you know, I could manage. But then when you have kids hungry, when you have kids hungry, crying not because they need the diaper changed. No, they are crying because they are hungry and there's no food. They're hungry and there's no food. Imagine your daughter is crying because she's hungry, or your son is crying, your baby is crying because they're, you know, hungry. A father would go crazy. And all they had to say is, "Okay, I don't need this Islam anymore. I'm just going to go back." And then he goes to Quraysh and he says, "I have, you know, I let down my faith. I'm embracing, astaghfirullah, you know, kufr again." None of them did that. None of them did that. Radiallahu anhum ardhan. So much so that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the Sahabi, he said one day, one night in the evening, late night, very cold night, "I came out looking for some food. I couldn't find anything. And then I had to urinate. So when I was urinating, I heard some sound." This is dark, you know, at night in the desert, in that siege. "I heard some noise when I was urinating, and then I looked, and then I saw a skin of a dead animal, a skin of a dead animal. سمعتُ طَأْطَأَ. I heard of a noise. A skin of a dead animal. So he says, "I took it, I cleaned it, I burned it, and I ate it." La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. "I took it, I burned it, I cleaned it, I burned it, and ate it." So much so that the Sahaba, subhanallah, they were eating leaves of trees. You're talking about our lockdown? The markets were still open. The grocery stores were still open. Yeah, maybe there was a line, you know, there was a lineup, but you still can, you know, line up to go and buy food. There was still food. You still could buy, you could, you know, order food, Uber Eats or whatnot, right? You could still call them and then they can deliver food to you. these people for 3 years they had nothing to eat. Like I said, he was going and then he found a dead skin of a skin of a dead animal. He just took it, cleaned it, washed it off, burnt it and ate it. The Sahaba said, we were eating leaves of trees. Naam. This is an image of what the Sahaba had to go through. Just for La ilaha illallah. Just for Islam. Even because those people, my brothers and sisters, they're cousins and brothers of one another. You know, Qurayshi is dead, and then his brother is in the other end starving. One man is here and his son is in the other end starving, or his father is the other end starving, or so on and so forth. It's all family members. Hisham bin Amr bin Amr al-Amiri, Hisham bin Amr from Quraysh, he brought at night, evening, he brought his camel, he filled it with food, right? Whatever, he filled it on the back of that camel with food, and then he hit it on its back to move towards, you know, the Sheb, to move towards where the siege was. And then they caught him and they started beating him up. Don't do it again. They started beating him up. The next day he did it. He was not a Muslim, but he had that uruba in him. They still have that manhood in them, right? It's not about Islam, it's the manhood. There's my brothers out there, my cousins out there. They're starving. Yeah, we're not sharing the same faith, but they're starving. He brought his own camel, filled it with food. The next day, then he sent it over again, and then they started beating him up. But Abu Sufyan came at the end. He says, leave this man. Leave him. It's all right. Leave him. Yasilu rahimah. He's upholding his ties of kinship. Upholding the tie of kinship. Leave him. These are our akhlaq. Don't corrupt our akhlaq. Even the Arab Quraysh, they had akhlaq, they had khuluq, they had morals, they had manners, regardless of the faith. But they had this Arabi akhlaq, the akhlaq of the Arabs, the morals of the Arabs. Don't spoil, don't corrupt our akhlaq. Allah. Any new revelations during that time? Yes. Quran was being revealed. Surat Yusuf, Surat Hud, some chapters from ayat, some verses. Surat Hud, verse 49. Fasbir innal aqibata lil muttaqin. Allahu Akbar. This is the best time to hear about patience. Allah Azza wa Jal, despite all this, Ya Muhammad, what should we do? Allah reveals, Fasbir, be patient. Persevere. Inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqeen. The end, the victory shall be with the muttaqeen, those who are righteous. So just be patient. What do you mean be patient? I'm starving. My kids are crying. They're gonna die off of hunger. My wife, she's sick. Isbir. Be patient. I'm having problems with my family. I'm having problems with my kids. I'm having problems with my boss. My father, my mother, my this, my that. We need patience. Patience has been mentioned in the Quran more than 90 times. Patience was mentioned in the Quran for more than 90 times. Isbir, isbir, isbir. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Wallahu ma'as sabirin. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves those who have patience. Allah is with those who are patient. Isbir. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in Surah Yusuf, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضَيْعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who are righteous and those who are patient, Allah does not waste the actions of al-muhsineen, those who do good. Allah would not waste their efforts, but they need to be patient. They need patience, these brothers and sisters. So Quraysh, when they put them into that siege, they wrote a document, a treaty, and then they put it inside the Kaaba. They put it inside the Kaaba, this treaty, no dealing with Banu Hashim, not dealing with the Muslims. Came five individuals from Quraysh who had family members been boycotted, and they said, we're going to go and we're going to destroy that sahifa. We're going to go and destroy this treaty. They tried. Abu Jahl tried to stop them. Abu Sufyan tried to stop them. But they were all, like five of them, they came already prepared. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told his uncle Abu Talib, go and tell Quraysh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed the sahifa, has destroyed this treaty. How? Allah azza wa jalla destroyed the treaty. It's Allah al-Malik, al-Qadir, al-Qadir. Allah destroyed the sahifa, the treaty, with these qirada, dude, worms, sending worms upon it, upon the sahifa. It kind of like destroyed it. The only thing that remained from the treaty is Bismikallahum. They used to say that when they used to write a letter or whatnot, they used to start with Bismikallahum. Everything else was destroyed. So Abu Talib, when he told Quraysh, my nephew is telling me that the sahifa, the treaty, has been destroyed. So they rushed to the Kaaba, they opened the door of the Kaaba, and they found indeed that the sahifa, the treaty, was destroyed. And the Muslims came out from that siege after 3 years. But they suffered. Prophet Muhammad got sick. Khadija got sick. Abu Talib got sick. Abu Talib was old. As soon as they came out in the 10th year, this is the 10th year of the bi'tah of the Prophet Muhammad. This is yani 6 to 9 years. The ninth year of the ninth year of the bi'tha of the Prophet, or before the Hijrah, ready? This is when this boycott happened. As soon as they came out, Abu Talib died. Before Abu Talib died, brothers and sisters, just imagine, you know, Prophet Muhammad, you know, went to see him. Prophet Muhammad went to see him, trying to make him say La ilaha illallah. And Quraysh was there as well when Abu Talib was dying. And Prophet Muhammad used to tell him, yeah, my uncle, just say one word. I shall witness for Allah on your behalf. Just say that word. Just say La ilaha illallah. Just say there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. And leave the rest upon me. I shall take it. I shall witness and I shall intercede on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. And then Quraysh, his friends, were looking at him and saying, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? Look, the devils. Look, the batil, the wrong, the falsehood with al-haq. Al-haq is telling him, al-haq, the man who's on the haq, say la ilaha illallah. And the people on dalal, on falsehood, saying, no, don't. Remember, your forefathers, this is it. You know, did he say la ilaha illallah? Before he died, he said, I am on the religion of my forefathers. أنا على ملتي آبائي. Quraysh. I'm following the religion of my forefathers. And he died. What Prophet Muhammad said, I shall make istighfar for him, regardless. Until Allah says not to, I shall seek istighfar for him. And Prophet Muhammad was making istighfar for his uncle after he died. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran. ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمؤمنين ولو كانوا ذو قربى And it is not permitted for the Prophet nor the believers to seek istighfar for the non-believers, even if they were from your kinship. Allahu Akbar. After they died, khalas, they died. Before they died, you can seek istighfar for them as long as you want. When they're still alive, you can pray for them and make istighfar for them. But if they were to die in that state of disbelief, Allah says, it is not befitted for you to seek istighfar for them, O Muhammad. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And for the believers, to seek istighfar for الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا To those who committed shirk. Not only him, but also Khadija, the friend of the Prophet, the lover of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad's best friend. She also came in and she got tired and she got sick and she died, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Do you know how she died? She died leaning on the chest of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Prophet Muhammad died leaning on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Khadija also passed away. This is why it is called the year of sadness. The year of sadness, that 10th year, after the 9th year of the Bi'tha of the Prophet. Abu Talib died, who used to support him, who used to defend him. And then after Abu Talib, Khadija, who also used to support him, you know, financially, physically, emotionally, supporting and assisting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. She stood strong with Prophet Muhammad. She stood strong supporting him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. They said, after 3 days or 7 days or even a month after they came back from the siege, from that boycott, she died, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. The loyal friend who could have stayed home, la, she chose to go with her husband and to stay by side of her husband. Yes, lean on me. That's the best friend, her best friend. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She used to buy slaves to go behind Prophet Muhammad to guard him as he was going around giving da'wah. She used to hire slaves. She used to hire them, go behind Prophet Muhammad and try to defend him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Support him, protect him. They both died. Prophet Muhammad, he could have died reciting the Quran. No, he did not die reciting the Quran. Aisha or Khadija, she did not die reciting the Quran. She died on the chest of the Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Muhammad died on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. What a beautiful, the greatest love story of all time, Prophet Muhammad and Khadija. In fact, before she died, Jibreel came down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he told him, "Oh Muhammad, ya Rasulullah, Khadija, she's coming to you with a tray of food. Greet her salam from Allah, then from me, and tell her or give her the glad tidings of a house in Jannah, of a house from a pearl that will have no suffering in it, no hardship," because she went through a lot of sufferings and she went through a lot of hardship. But before she died, she got this beautiful, beautiful glad tidings. Jibreel coming down saying, "Ya Khadija, Assalamu alayk ya Khadija." From who? From Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is conveying salam to Khadija. Khadija said, Allah is saying salam, convey my salam. His salam, yes, Khadija, Allah and Jibreel, they convey their salam, and Allah is giving the glad tidings of a house in Jannah from a pearl that has no sufferings, that has no hardships. Allah is as-salam. How shall I say wa alaykum as-salam? Say, O Khadija, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta ya jalali wal ikram. Allah, you are the peace and the source of peace. Radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam. Allah is the peace. And we need peace in this time and age of confusion and moral decay. We definitely need peace and serenity. What would the Prophet do after this? Because now he has no one to support him. Abu Talib used to defend him. Abu Talib used to defend him. Khadija used to defend him. So they died now. Prophet Muhammad, did he get married after Khadija? For 3 years, he did not marry no one. 25 years being with Khadija, he didn't marry anyone. And 3 years after her death, he did not marry anyone. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 50 years old he was. 50 years old when she passed away. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Yes, he married Sauda. But Sauda, she was an old woman. 3 years later, she was like 80 years old. 80 years old, she was a widower. A widow, I'm sorry. And Prophet Muhammad just married her. Is this for pleasure? Prophet Muhammad is going to marry an 80-year-old woman for pleasure? Because some people, you know, when they talk about Prophet Muhammad and he's marrying women and whatnot, he's 80 years old, for God's sake. What pleasure? Talking about to just protect her. She used to give up her night for Aisha, Sauda. She used to give up her night for Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Anyways, what would the Prophet Muhammad do after that year of sadness? Is he going to prepare for Hijrah? Is he going to migrate to Medina? No. He's heartbroken now. He's sad. He's very heartbroken. He's a human being. What is going to happen? What is he going to do? Where is he going to go? People going to embrace Islam? Or Islam has been put on hold now for some time. But something wonderful, wonderful will happen. What is it? Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we will talk about it. And you do not want to miss it. All I have to tell you now, brothers and sisters, you do not want to miss it. Tomorrow, inshallah, same time, same place, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, 10:30 p.m. UK time, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Jazakumullah khair for joining. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Those who've come in late, go back and watch the session. It's recorded on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. Go to YouTube and check it out, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum Nawal. Assalamu alaikum Layla. Assalamu alaikum Lightspread. Bye Zuraz, Yasmin, Mu'nisa, Nawal, Hafiz Ghan, came in late. Shabnam Kulsoom, Jazakumullah khair. Who else? Hafiz and more Kane. Those of you on Facebook, those of you coming late, go back and watch the sessions. You know, you keep on missing them. Ifran Hussein, thank you for joining. May Allah bless you. Jazakumullah khair. Sister Yasmin Nasima, thank you for joining. May Allah bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Take care. Sulay too fast. Alaikum salam. Take care. See you tomorrow, inshallah.